Ladies and gentlemen, good morning, and welcome to post-earnings conference call of Carborundum Universal, hosted by Spark Capital Advisors (India) Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ravi Swaminathan from Spark Capital Advisors (India) Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks. A very warm good morning to everyone. On behalf of Spark Capital, I would like to welcome you to the Q1 FY23 earnings call of Carborundum Universal. We have the management today being represented by Mr. Sridhar Rangarajan, Director of Finance and Strategy, Mr. Anantha Seshan, Managing Director, Mr. P. Padmanabhan, CFO, and Mr. G. Chandramouli, Advisor, Investor Relations. I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Anantha Seshan for his initial remarks, post which we will open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Ravi. Good morning to all of you. Before we begin, as a practice, we will now have Mr. Chandramouli read out our disclaimer, and then I will take the call.
Good morning. During this call, we may make certain statements which reflect our outlook for the future or which could be construed as forward-looking statements. These statements are based on the management's current expectations and are associated with uncertainties and risks are more fully detailed in our annual report, which may cause the actual result to differ. Hence, these statements must be reviewed in conjunction with the risk that the company faces. Thank you.
Thank you, Mouli. Thank you all for joining us on this call, and welcome to the first quarter FY23 earnings of CUMI. Before highlighting the performance of the period, I hope that you and your family members are safe and healthy. Today, we are joined on the call by my colleagues, Mr. Sridhar Rangarajan, Director of Finance and Strategy, Mr. P. Padmanabhan, CFO, and Mr. Chandramouli, Investor Relations. I will start with providing an overview of the company performance and a commentary on the outlook, followed by Padmanabhan, who will walk us through the financial performance, and Sridhar will take you through the performance of the newly acquired subsidiaries and VAW Russia. The quarter started on a volatile note, with geopolitical tensions impacting global economy. The current macro environment is more challenging compared to the previous quarters, with headwinds like inflation, raw materials availability, supply chain disruptions, foreign currency rate fluctuations, higher cost of capital, and expectations of a global recession. We had sensed and shared some of these during our last call. Economies across the world, including India, are facing inflationary pressures. Hopefully, as the supply side situation improves, inflation should come down. This was also highlighted by a recent RBI report that India is today in a better position to mitigate external risks and global spillovers as compared to other economies. That is the good news. Coming to the company's performance, we are glad to report yet another quarter of robust performance and a reasonable start to FY23. Our performance, yet again, is backed by strong demand of our products, solutions, and also backed by manufacturing and research capabilities, and the timely execution in domestic and overseas markets. For the quarter, our revenues has grown by 60% quarter-on-quarter to rupees 1,129 crores at a consolidated level, and by 29% to rupees 600 crores at a standalone level. The quarterly revenues at consolidated and standalone level has crossed the milestone of rupees 1,000 crores and 600 crores respectively. The growth was driven by all three segments. All the major overseas subsidiaries have performed well on top line, and also the newly acquired subsidiaries have contributed additional sales of 181 crores during the quarter. As far as the bottom line performance goes, profit after tax and non-controlling interest grew by 10% to rupees 86 crores against rupees 78 crores in Q1 of previous year. The negative variance when compared on a QOQ basis have come from our power generation subsidiary SETCO due to significant increase in gas prices and reported losses from newly acquired subsidiaries, which Sridhar will cover later. Also, the incremental growth in top line of our Russian subsidiary did not translate proportionally to bottom line due to the strengthening of the ruble against all currencies. At the standalone level, profitability for the quarter recorded strong growth across minerals and ceramic segments, and the PAT increased to rupees 73 crores from rupees 63 crores in Q1 of last year. However, the profit margins were impacted due to cost inflation. Coming to the demand side, the outlook remains positive, but could be facing supply challenges and cost pressures going forward due to inflation and commodity price increases. The auto sector performed well compared to the previous year, but still in some segments due to below pre-pandemic levels. The construction-linked sectors have grown, but margins are likely to be impacted due to increasing input costs. However, led by policy tightening and expectations of a slowdown in global growth, some cool-off has been witnessed in the commodity prices since the start of the Russia-Ukraine conflict. In the base metals, iron ore has corrected by 49% and aluminum by 37% from their respective peaks, and this gives us some respite. The outlook remains positive for other sectors like steel, cement, power, glass, carbon black, solid oxide fuel cells, etc., to whom our company caters to. We do have a good order bank at present, and we expect the demand to be robust in coming quarters for all the three business segments. However, maintaining or increasing margins will be a challenge considering higher input costs, the uncertainties due to the geopolitical tensions, but has to be managed through price hikes and prudent cost management. On the health front, the COVID-19 cases in India once again saw an increase in June 22 after witnessing a decline in May. However, the rise was not significant thanks to the large-scale vaccination drive. The lesser severity and fewer fatalities has revived confidence in improving risk conditions, but the businesses are well prepared with safety protocols and vaccination, with nearly 99% of our workforce having received at least one dose and around 91% with both the doses. In terms of CapEx, at a consolidated level, we spent rupees 56 crores in the first quarter. I will now request Mr. Padmanabhan, our CFO, to walk us through the financials.
Thank you, Anand. Good morning, everyone. Let me summarize the financial performance for the quarter ended June 30, 2022. The consolidated sales for the quarter has increased by 60% to 1,129 crores from 706 crores in the corresponding period of last year, mainly driven by the steady performance across business segments and additional sales of 181 crores from newly acquired subsidiaries. Profit after tax and after non-controlling interest for the quarter was at 79 crores as compared to 77 crores in the corresponding period of last year. PAT margin dropped from 10.9% during Q1 of previous year to 7% in the current year on account of the cost increases and the losses at the newly acquired subsidiaries, which will be covered in detail later. The standalone sales increased by 29% to 600 crores from 465 crores. PAT grew 16% to 73 crores from 63 crores. PAT margin decreased from 13.6% to 12.1% during this quarter, mainly on account of increasing input cost. Coming to the segmental performance, Abrasives consolidated sales for the quarter increased by 88% to 513 crores from 273 crores in the corresponding period of last year. Standalone sale increased by 20% to 269 crores from 224 crores in Q1 of last year. Russian subsidiary Volsky Abrasives and domestic subsidiary Sterling Abrasive registered double-digit growth. The newly acquired subsidiaries Rhodius and Avuco added additional sales to the top line. At the consolidated level, the PBIT for the quarter was rupees 18 crores, decreasing from 38 crores, mainly due to the cost push in domestic and overseas subsidiary performance. In the Electrominerals division, the consolidated sales for the quarter increased by 41% to 406 crores from 288 crores in the corresponding quarter of previous year. Volsky Abrasives Russia and Foskor Zirconia South Africa registered significant growth. At standalone level, sales increased to 179 crores from 134 crores in Q1 FY22. The consolidated PBIT of the electromineral segment for the quarter increased to 59 crores from 49 crores in last year. Profitability growth was significant at the standalone level, driven by the volume growth and higher realization. Russian subsidiary recorded a drop in profits on account of the rupee depreciation. Ceramics consolidated sales for the quarter grew by 40% on quarter-on-quarter basis from 173 crores to 243 crores. The standalone sales grew by 37% on quarter-on-quarter basis to 193 crores, despite logistics and cost-related challenges. Subsidiaries in Australia and America also registered significant growth. Consolidated PBIT of the ceramic segments for the quarter increased to 58 crores from 33 crores in Q1 of last year, mainly on account of growth in volume, realization, better product mix, and which was further aided by the Forex benefit. On the finance side, there was a working capital debt of 148 crores in the standalone books as of quarter end. The total debt on a consolidated basis was at 254 crores as compared to 212 crores as of March. The debt equity ratio was at 0.09 for the consolidated as of Q1. On the Forex cover, QME is typically a net importer in dollar terms and net exporter in euro terms. We cover the net exposure as appropriate and in accordance with the Forex policy. On the cash flow front, our strong balance sheet is evidenced by the net cash position and low debt equity ratio. The net cash available was at 118 crores. This concludes my update on finance. I'll now request Mr. Sridharan, our Director of Finance and Strategy, to walk us through the performance of the Russian subsidiary WAW and the recent acquired entities.
Thank you. Thank you, Anand and Padmanabhan. Good morning to all of you. I would walk you through both Russia as well as the recent acquisitions, update on them. First of all, let's start with Russia. I would say the team in Russia has managed the business well in a very, very challenging environment, complying with all possible restrictions imposed on them. We saw that the local currency, the sales has grew by 22% on quarter basis on account of higher volume and realization. Sequentially, sales grew by 9% on account of higher volume as well as some realization, lower realization put together. We see that the silicon carbide segment also has done very well, both in terms of volume as well as in terms of the realization. We saw that the abrasive business grew double digit. Both the segments achieved higher sales for any quarter so far, that is silicon carbide as well as abrasives. Considering the current challenges, particularly the logistics-related challenges to sell outside of the Russia due to Russia-Ukraine conflict, the business had explored opportunity to sell more with domestic market and increase its volume share in Russia level from 45% to 55%, as well as selling more to India, and they are able to sell within Europe as well with a small decrease from their earlier position, complying all the logistics norms that they need to follow. There has been no impact on the operation and installed capacity utilization due to this conflict. Also, collections are on time. The logistic front, they have definitely improved far better from the initial stages when we talked to you about 3 months back. They were able to develop logistic routes which will work properly both to Europe as well as to India. Coming to the bottom line, the performance of the operational PBIT definitely improved far better, at least by 800 bips and 340 bips in Q1 last year compared to Q1 last year. However, the profit after tax in local currency decreased largely due to the restatement of their receivables and payables in foreign currency to ruble. This is the big impact. The impact due to that forex loss was 372 million rubles. Roughly one can state it's about 37 to 40 crores of impact. You would note that when this conflict started, it was about 75 to 77 rubles. To a dollar, it went as high as about 135, and it fell down to 56, and right now it is in the range of 60, 62. So there is a wide fluctuation as far as the currency movement is concerned, and this cost them their receivable, both in terms of dollar and in euro, have to be restated from the earlier position of what they booked in March to June, and that restatement effect is what we are seeing. So as and when this position changes, that is, if suppose it starts improving in this quarter, obviously there will be a restatement gain that we will have from the earlier close. So this is a normal, I would say, unrealized position at this point in time, but it could change depending on the quarterly movements that would happen. We feel the outlook remains very positive in the upcoming quarter. The team in Russia is exploring all possible options in minimizing the cost and optimizing the opportunity. We expect yearly performance to be in line with the business plan and better than previous year, both in terms of the top line as well as profit after tax. Now coming to Rhodius, just to recap, during the year, CUMI made a significant acquisition of Rhodius Abrasives in Germany at an enterprise value of 55 million euro and took control of the company effective from April 1st, 2022. Rhodius manufactures in Germany globally best quality cutting and grinding disc. They lead in product innovation and quality with unique professional segment product suit. They have proprietary production process setting industry benchmark. They have a strong legacy of 7 decades of successful business serving more than 100 countries. We took control of the company 3 months back. We would like to tell you that Rhodius Abrasives was supported by Rhodius Holding in terms of common financial and IT leadership across their various businesses. It used the common infrastructure, both IT and electrical and electronic supports and resources. These resources will be available until December, and CUMI has to create the team and the infrastructure by then to insource these resources and infrastructure. The progress so far in the last 3 months is very good. We have now a CFO for the company recruited and joined the company. We have also now an IT head recruited and joined the company. We have appointed a consulting company to work on providing the IT infrastructure We have engaged recruiting agents to set up a proper team. We are progressing well in this regard. We are also happy to share that the Rhodi has delivered better than our internal plan and last year achieved net sales of Euro 18 million. We expect the full year sales to be Euro 70 to 75 million for this year. I would like to recall that we communicated in our last call, we said the EBIT margin of Rhodius used to be 7.5 to 8% with high teen return on capital employed. We also said that we expect a drop in margin as well as ROC. We expect the EBIT margin of 12% to 14% by FY26. As far as this quarter is concerned, the sales are better than planned. However, we made a loss of 6.5 crores. This partially in line with our forecast. Rhodius was impacted by higher cost of input material and logistics costs. Rhodius has implemented a planned price correction, but of course the catch-up game is on. Of course, this can only be progressively be done. We expect the full year impact of this would be around 3 million euro. Besides this, as explained earlier, we expect additional costs due to setting up the leadership team, infrastructure costs, as well as the depreciation of intangibles. Considering all these, we expect the full year would be a break-even. Losses in Q2 and Q3 will come down and we expect a profit in Q4. As far as AWUKO, just to recap, during the year, the CUMI acquired main assets of AWUKO Abrasives from insolvency administrator. The assets included land and building, plant and machinery, fixed assets, leased assets, brand and trademark, patents, technical know-how, etc. CUMI paid 8 million euro and we also paid a settlement cost for the reduction of labor force. AWUKO has got two makers, flatbed and loop drying machine with wide width capability. CUMI will gain access to the coated abrasive capacity in Europe with global distribution base and an experienced process and application engineering team. CUMI is currently working on stabilizing the AWUKO's business and expect that to take a couple of years. CUMI expects AWUKO to break even by FY24, CUMI expects to reach sales of 22 to 25 million euro by 2026 with high teens returns on investment. All these statements, what we made last time, still hold fine. We are progressing right on target. We have taken over the company 5 months back. We are in the process of strengthening the local leadership as well as facilitating by providing shared services in the areas of finance and HR. This will be common to Rhodius and AWUKO. We are re-establishing relationship with suppliers who stopped supplying as the company was earlier in financial problems. Setting up the supply chain is the priority. We are doing that. We expect the supply chain will become normal only in H2. We are also reaching out to the customers and distributors. This process is going well. CUMI's name and Murugappa Group backing helps a lot in this process. We feel we will be able to set up the full leadership team, re-establish the supply chain, and bring back the customers by Q4 of this year. We feel this, the process of morale building, re-establishing supply chain and customer relationship is progressing in the right direction. We have now a dedicated leader appointed for the integration of AWUKO and Rhodius. This quarter, they achieved 2.7 million sales. We expect the full year sales to be Euro 12 million. We expect the full year loss to be 20 to 25 crores and Q1 loss is about 4.8 crores. As we earlier said, that AWUKO will break even by FY24. Now I'll go to plus. As far as plus, the performance, the sales for the quarter was 11 crores. We expect the full year sales to be 50 crores. We expect that they will break even at full year level. For Q1, there was an operational loss of 2.6 crores. We feel we need to nurture this company. CUMI believes that PCM is a growing technology. PCMs are thermal storage materials with versatile applications in pharma, cold chain, refrigeration and food supply chain, medical devices, buildings and HVAC applications. As communicated earlier, QMI would take a year to present and discuss the future opportunities for Plus. So this is the update from my side as far as performance of Russia subsidiary and the three recently acquired subsidiaries. All of them are on track and as expected in terms of our own decision-making process. We feel that I think we need to give some time to make sure that we stabilize these operations well, and then we will start reaping the benefits. So that I will conclude my opening remark, and probably we can open up for question and answer.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sujit Jain from ASK Investment Managers Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Just to get the numbers right, X of these two subsidiaries, German subsidiaries, at the company level, if you can give a sense as to what the volume growth and the pricing growth would be, or at the division levels.
Yeah, I think I would say the company level is a bit difficult because of the varied businesses. Let's try by segment. Now, as far as the QMI standalone is concerned, I think abrasives, there's a volume, lower volume compared to Q4 of the last year, but higher volume compared to Q1 of the last year. Prices are soft, and that is why it starts reflecting it in the PBIT margin. As far as ceramics goes, very strong volume growth, moderate price growth. EMD, both volume and price growth, very strong. This is, I would say, a broad number I would be able to give you.
The ceramics and EMD commentary that you gave would be Q&Q, right?
Q&Q as well as sequential, both are doing fine.
Right. And in terms of the staff cost and the standalone, they are up at 60 crores. What exactly has led to this increase QOQ?
You're talking about the employee cost, is that correct?
Right.
So employee cost, both standalone and consolidated, since this question is asked, I'm sure there will be a question relating to consol also. The increase in consol is largely a function of the cost in AUCO, cost in RODIUS, and the cost increases in QMI standalone. All these three contributes to the employee cost addition, which reflects largely a function of salary increases in the domestic subsidiary, because the Q1 of the last year compared to the Q1 of this year, there will be a salary correction that would have happened, plus people addition that happened all through the last year. And as far as AUCO and RODIUS is concerned, it was not there, hence both of them got added to the consolidated result. That's the broad, of course, there's a, the other big entity is VAW, because there also there's a price, people addition and the salary corrections. We feel it is normal, nothing abnormal.
Right. And the depreciation rate at the console level of 43 crores per quarter, that will continue?
You are talking depreciation at the quarter level, yeah. No, so if this 42 crores would include a portion of the depreciation that would come from AUCO and RODIUS, which is just coming, right? So hence it is going up. This would, I think, for you to estimate, you can take this as a base for you to estimate the full year.
Sure, thanks. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Kachari from Haitong Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you, gentlemen, for a very elaborate presentation. I've got two questions. One, you briefly touched upon, certain supply chain constraints during the quarter. Can you please elaborate on this? And how do you see this, impacting your full year performance? That's the first question.
Yeah. So the supply chain constraints, I would say, is largely on the inbound side. So where we get our raw materials from China plus in countries from Europe. So we did have disruptions in materials coming in from Europe, especially on the abrasives, because many of these are from Scandinavia and some other countries like France. And there the shipments got delayed, and also because of their production disruptions, because of these energy limitations, also caused a delay in supplies. On the outbound, we still see some disruptions, but definitely it is better than the previous two quarters.
Okay. So my second question is, I think you had indicated earlier, that South African operations will take a couple of years to turn around.
Yeah.
So I was pleasantly surprised to see profits. Can you discuss what happened in South African operations, please?
So the South African operation, I don't think we said 2 years. Perhaps it must have been 2 years back conversation, because we introduced quite a few new products. They also changed their business model to more get into kind of shorter working capital cycle. They also introduced a tilt foam furnace from their stationary furnace. These three, coupled with few other local changes, and the demand side in terms of the availability of the products, pushed the prices as well. That resulted in a quick turnaround of the company. So for the last four quarters, they're consistently performing and delivering profitable resources.
Right, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harshit Patel from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Sir, my first question is on VAW. Sir, our earlier impression was that there could be some translational gains over there because the ruble has appreciated significantly over rupee. So, sir, could you explain as to why there is 37 to 50 crores of kind of forex losses we have made? So, is it because of translating those receivables in euro? So, translating that euro receivables to ruble and then into INR. Could you explain a little bit over there?
Yeah. I think... Good question. I think, as we said in the earlier calls also, they have almost more than 50% of their business in silicon carbide getting exported out of Russia. They are predominantly invoiced either in euro or in dollars. Their receivable in euro and dollar have to be converted into rubles. And if you see that, the ruble appreciated. Like, for example, if I have to get $1 million and if I have to restate this $1 million, let's assume at 80 rubles to a dollar in the last quarter, I'm just giving an example only, and then it appreciated, let us assume it goes to 50. So that would result into an exchange loss in the ruble books. And that ruble loss will now have to be converted back into INR. So hence the same exchange loss will translate back into Indian rupees. And that is how it comes.
Sure, understood. So just a follow-up to this, could you state as to what was the geographical mix of Russia in the last quarter? I mean, how much of the volumes were sold in Russia, Europe, India, and the rest of the country?
Around 55% in Russia, 17% in India, the balance is Europe and rest of the world.
Sure, understood. Sir, my second question would be on our industrial ceramics portfolio. So could you throw some light on our portfolio in anti-corrosive and composite? I think you have given us quite a lot of flavor in the annual report. So what is the overall addressable market that we are catering to through these categories of products? What would be our revenue size at the moment from this, and how fast it can grow?
Yeah. The anti-corrosive product portfolio, what we have is largely for floorings and coatings, which are used in acid manufacture, sulfuric acid or fertilizers or very corrosive chemicals. So these are industrial coatings. And as to your question of how fast they can grow, we do believe that one, as a coating and also as what you call as bricks. These are specialty lining, and they are project-based. Today, in terms of size of the business is about.
It's a small portion,
small portion.
The anti-corrosive side of it. So there are three components to that ceramic segment. There is industrial ceramics, refractory, and anti-corrosive, these three components. And industrial ceramics has got wear as well as the higher end of the industrial ceramics application. So this is how the industry has to be looked at. And that's how, if you look at the annual report, it would have covered all the three sides of it.
Right. What would be our broad mix of the sales between these three categories? Refractories, industrial ceramics, and then this anti-corrosive and composite.
I would encourage you to look at it together rather than splitting it, because it's a mix that sometimes gives us ability to sail through and then service various industries. Like, for example, the same industry is served through all the three different products. So if you take a cement, it can be served cement industry by all the three product lines. So we don't distinguish it that way.
Understood, sir. If I can just squeeze in one last question. If you can give some flavor on the CapEx plan. I think the CapEx in the first quarter at 56 crore was a bit on the higher side. Also, we see the electro-mineral sales ramping up very fast in India, helped by China Plus One. So here, what are the product lines that we are expanding? I think you had previously mentioned about synthetic ground-based alumina.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Patel, your voice is echoing.
Hello, is this
better?
Yes, this is better. Yeah, you're better now.
Sure. So my question was on the CapEx plan. I think you have already done around 56 crores in the first quarter. I think that is slightly on the higher side vis-à-vis our own historical averages. We also see the electro-mineral sales ramping up very fast, helped by China Plus One. So here, what are the product lines that we are expanding? Are there any new product lines? I think you had previously mentioned about this synthetic ground-fused alumina. So how is that product line doing? And what would be our overall CapEx for the next couple of years? That would be my last question.
Yeah. So the CapEx plan, yeah, your observation is right. We have, it does seem that we are spending a little more than what we normally do. It's also an effect of the spillovers of the Q4, which gets capitalized in Q1. As to your question regarding electro minerals, the product group, as you rightly pointed out, is a brown fused alumina, which came into, I would say, full capacities in the second half, late in the second half of last year. So you are seeing the benefit of that. So the synthetic ground fuse alumina is running well, and that was going to deliver volumes in EMD. So is the case of the white fused alumina. So the capacity increases in white fused and brown fused alumina, which is the core products, has significantly resulted in the EMD business doing well.
Sure. Understood, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much for answering.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavin Vithlani from SBI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. First question is on the standalone abrasives division. We see some softness sequentially as well as on the margins, which were hovering around 18% in the last 7 quarters. We saw 14.5%. So could you just help us with the volumes as well as the margins impact in the standalone abrasives division?
The standalone, if you were to take the three broad segments, you have the abrasives, ceramics, and the minerals. While the minerals and the ceramics had a good run, because both in terms of the volumes and also the margins, the abrasives is the one which has been impacted, and this is largely due to a combination of cost push of all the input raw materials, and we would also remember that this cost push came into from Q3 on, so significant increase in the case of the input materials. So not all the costs have been able to pass on, because there is always a lag in the abrasives industry. So to putting up the prices and implementing it in full. So that's largely the reason for this lower margins.
Sure. On the volumes front, the softness, and what's the kind of growth that we should expect on the abrasive side for the annualized basis?
I would think the volume has been, I mean, if you look at the sequentially, yes, there has been a drop in volume. That is also due to the fact that we have not been able to get, I would estimate about 15-20 crores. We have not been able to deliver more because of non-availability of specific raw materials. Otherwise, the sales would have been better. We do see that there is definitely a more positive mood in terms of the consumption. So we expect that it will be better and positive. Okay. Around 10% is what we expect.
Sure. And would the margins come back to that 18% level as the lag impact is covered?
No, I don't know where you get the 18%, Bhavin, because I'm just looking standalone, you know. The best in the last 8 quarters we delivered is about 16.8%. But I think still there's the point that you are making is, yes, from we have come down in the margin. We clearly see that. I think we'll be back. My guess is that at last year, full year level, we were at 12.2%. And we think that we should be get back to that level at the full year level at the end of 23.
Sure. The last question is, if you could just help us again with the losses which were there in the German subsidiaries and the kind of crisis that we are seeing on the energy side, prices as well as availability. How do you see the impact of the energy availability and the prices on the operations, and what's your plan of action to overcome these difficulties?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. So first of all, we need to split this into two broad areas, AWUKO and RODIUS. I covered about AWUKO. You know, if you really see, we took the assets of the AWUKO when it was under the liquidation for almost 2 to 3 years. They were reeling under a lot of pressure. Supply chain disruptions happened. Customers started moving away from them. And that's the kind of situation we took over this company. And we know that it's going to take time. And we said and we communicated that it will take at least 2 years, FY24, to even come to break even. So in that regard, I think the losses that we are seeing, and I think I said that we will be full year loss could be about 20 to 25 crores, is very much in line with our expectation. Now, to the question that you asked, how is the gas price playing around? A few good things that in our favor is that we have contracts for the full year, that is calendar year. So the availability of gas is not an issue. Cost also, we are in terms of the current situation, we are very well under control. We would like to enter, and we are in the process of entering into contracts for the next year. So we feel that though the headline newspaper-led gas price cost increase, etc., is one, but in reality, there is a that's not going that alarmingly high. But it is definitely on the, I would say, at least minimum 3 times higher compared to what we have been looking at. So which means we need to start preparing, putting the price back to the customers, as well as work on the energy saving measures, product mix changes, and some productivity work. So this is what currently we are looking at, looking forward to the next year, not for this year. We, as I said, that we are fine as far as this year is concerned. And we have to wait and see how things turn. You know, there are signs of positive things coming along in terms of this conflict. Probably, you know, people will start realizing that, you know, gas price also is not sustainable at this level. It will start coming up. Alternate energies will start appearing. So we'll have to wait and see. But definitely we are watching this trend. The same goes for the comment for Rhodius. I think they have very well entrenched contract with the local suppliers. So we are fine as far as this year is concerned. And we are working on contracts for the year to come. And this is, we see this across the entire Europe. We see this across the other geographies as well. So there's going to be a lot of pressure. And so that pressure will start reacting on bringing this cost back. And if you really see that 18 months back, we all saw the commodity price going up. And then now suddenly there's a big drop. Of course, it is not comparable to, you know, the earlier price, but it is still a huge drop of 40 to 50% drop has happened. So I think we are seized of this particular fact, and we are working on that.
Sure. I just missed the Rhodius loss number for the quarter and your expectation for the current year.
I said the expectation for the full year we will break even, and the loss for the quarter I said about 6.5 crores.
Sure. Thank you so much for taking my questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, a request to all the participants to limit their questions to 2 per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dikshit Mittal from LIC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. My question is on Russian operations. As you mentioned, now you have resumed your exports to Europe. So do you think you can get more market share or maybe higher margins in Europe since European players may be suffering from higher gas or power costs?
So we have not resumed. We continue to do what we are doing. I mean, like there was no impact. I think we communicated this in Q1 also. So I think what I would say that the silicon carbide is a very important material, and it is needed by all the industries. Hence, they will have to start using this material. and we are following whatever is the guideline the respective government provides as far as the logistics is concerned, we are doing the same. So I would say the logistics issues are getting better day by day. The Indian government is also doing quite a lot as far as logistics routes to India. To your question, you know, will it create more opportunities for Europe? I would think definitely yes. but like, you know, as I said, we are operating to the brim. I mean, we operationally we are doing the best at this point in time. Except that the exchange issues are beyond our control. I mean, that's the challenge we face.
Yes, so I assume that your competitors in Europe will be facing challenges, right, in terms of power cost. So will that give you opportunity to increase margins for your sale to Europe?
Sir, could you repeat the question?
So because your operations are in Russia, so I presume that you'll be better placed, right, as compared to your European competitors. So in terms of cost structure, so will that help you increase margins maybe in the medium term?
I think as far as our position is concerned, yes, we are better positioned than probably an European counterpart, particularly in terms of the energy availability and the cost. But I think we want to do the right things for the customer, and we'll go by the market price. We are not looking for a, you know, like, for example, using this opportunity to have a windfall gain, but it depends on the demand, supply, and the price at that point in time.
Okay. So, but I assume that the prices will automatically rise, right? If the basically power costs are rising. So, in a way, that should help.
That's right. I think, you know, I told in my remark is the combination of what we got is a price and volume, and price is playing a big role there.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Mongia from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning and thanks for the opportunity. My first question relates to the three segments and all put in one. From what I recall a few quarters back when I asked this question, it seemed as if EMD amongst all the three segments was best placed as per you in terms of growth visibility and ability to pass on cost inflation to the customer. It seems to be the case right now also as per your commentary. Now, we do understand that EMT is a commoditized or a commodity-like business. Do you expect the strength of EMT related to the other two segments sustaining for a longer period of time?
The EMD business, as I said, it is in two parts. One is in Russia and other was in India. And it was always the Indian part of the business that, you know, we were concerned about in terms of its sustained profitability. The last couple of years, I've seen EMD grow in volumes and also improve its, when I say product mix, it is picked up products and changed them completely to, as in the case of the synthetic brown, which gives them a very good cost position. So what is happening is that combined with volumes and also a good cost position, now EMD has set itself up for, I believe, a sustained profitable growth. So while some parts of the bulk of the EMD business is in what you call a commoditized product, but there is also a large growing portfolio of specialized products which would overall improve the margin profile of EMD.
Understood. Thanks for the response. The second question is more a clarification. Somewhere in your opening remarks, you suggested that beyond the subsidiaries creating a loss-making situation for you, there was also a gas price issue that impacted. Is there a separate loss number that you would want to kind of quantify for the quarter?
Setco.
So you are talking about the gas?
Yeah, exactly. The Setco part. Yeah.
So Setco. See, the price is set by ONGC every quarter based on the global basket of the price of their source, what they source to us. I mean, not it's an Indian based one. So if you really see, $2.9 per MMBTU has gone to $6.1 per MMBTU. So that has created a high cost of gas to Setco, and Setco in turn cannot pass on it to its customer. So it's a captive unit which serves the group. So, and we always price the group companies at what a power generation company can charge to its customer, which is basically either a Tangedco or KSEB, how they charge, the same rate they charge. So in some quarters, they get a better profit because of your gas input cost is coming down. In some quarter, it has got a loss. And that's how it whole thing plays. So what you have to see is that had they passed on this, they could have come in the other side of it. That's how it goes through.
Understood. And just one more clarification, not a question. When you say that receivables have been kind of treated and there has been an FX impact, where exactly does it get booked inside the segmental EMD number or somewhere else?
Yes, it gets booked in segmental EMD, correct.
Got that. Those are my questions. Thank you for your response.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manoj Pandey from Carnelian Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question. So I have a couple of questions.
There is a disturbance from your line also. I would request to use your handset to ask a question.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Please proceed. It's clear now.
Is it better now?
Better,
So my first question is, since you mentioned that a portion of impact on margins is due to conversion of exports back to rubles. So just wanted to understand, like, once we have done the exports and don't we have a hedging mechanism like where we lock our export realization, or this time we have not decided not to hedge, looking at like expectation that ruble will keep on under pressure?
Good. I wish such a mechanisms are available in Russia, given what they are undergoing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So you are saying that the hedging mechanism itself was not available. I understand that, sir. I missed that. It is like, it must have been like... the second part of my question is, sir, if you can touch update on our... next generation business vertical, especially on the battery side, silicon carbide. If you can touch upon some update on that, that will be helpful.
Yeah. As mentioned in the last call, these two projects are still on a pilot stage. And while we have made progress in terms of the high purity silicon carbide, both as a raw material and also as potentially the single crystals, it would take time to get that into some commercial levels. So it's, as of now, it's on a pilot and progressing as per our plan.
Sure, sir. Thanks for taking my question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Alok Ranjan from IIFL AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir. So my first question is broadly on the macro
with the way we are, listening on the macro side of the things, that, you know, the demand, global demand, may likely to continue to see headwinds. Are you getting any initial signs in any of your segments, especially on the electrometals and abrasives? Any early indication in terms of demand coming down or something?
In the abrasive segment, what we have seen over the last quarter, the precision abrasives has stayed strong. That's possibly the revival of the auto industry is helping, and also the imports of the abrasives due to the, I mean, it's leading to the forex is also leading to higher costs of imports, and also supply difficulties from overseas suppliers is also helping. So the precision abrasives is seeing a stronger demand. In the case of the mass market abrasives, there has been some amount of pressure from the construction industry side. But I believe that, going forward, this should ease a bit. While in the case of minerals and the ceramics, the demand continues to be very positive.
Just to add on this one, given that China was impacted because of the COVID and there were lockdowns, although it was kind of localized, but it, the way you mentioned that the mass market segment is the one which is majorly goes into the housing and the construction. With the opening of the Chinese manufacturing, how do you see ex-China for companies like us? How the volume market share gets impacted, or also in terms of the pricing? Do you see with the opening of the China manufacturing, it will be impacting us negatively, or it will be neutral or positive? Can you just comment on this, please?
See, it is not surprising that the China has got back or will get back. I mean, it's a large production base for materials like ours. Having said that, their cost position is also going to be has been impacted because their energy costs have gone up, their people costs have gone up, and also the raw material costs for them also have gone up. So I'm seeing that while they would come back, the prices at which the imports from China would come in is not going to be cheap. And on top of that, we have the rupee also weakening. So that is also going to put up the overall cost of the products. So, it's not going to be a very lopsided competition as before.
Got it. Just one clarification, sir. Given that we are witnessing commodity cost coming down, except oil, most of the commodities have seen sharp correction.
Yeah.
Do you see electro minerals also witnessing price correction, or the dynamics are very different there?
There will be pressure on price corrections, because when the commodity prices went up, I mean commodities like alumina went up, obviously we had to put up prices, and it would be the reverse going down. But at the same time, having said that, it is also the raw materials what we source can also be at a lower prices. So hopefully the margins may remain the same.
Got it, sir. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhumika Nair from DAM Capital. Please go ahead. Ms. Nair, I have unmuted your line. Please proceed with your question.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
So just in continuation of the previous question, in terms of the EMD, while realizations will go down and, also the raw material prices will go down, will that actually mean an expansion in the margins per se, because of the, mathematically, as such, the margin numbers should go up because absolute profit will remain same?
Mathematically, yes. But then, you know, we still not, while there are demands or there will be demands from customers to bring down the prices, we also have to see the next, because there are already, you know, raw materials which we buy, which we would have bought at higher prices. So to that extent, we will have the margins being impacted. So when the prices go down and the future consignments are at a lower prices, then you still have a better margin. So overall, I would think that net-net would stay with similar margins.
Okay. So now the next question is on Rhodius. You know, we are projecting something like a 170 odd million euros kind of a revenue, which is, 70 million kind of a euro of revenue versus what they used to earlier do, about a 60 odd million.
Yeah.
Now, with Europe entering into, a slowdown or a recession, etc., is there a risk to this number, which would mean that, you know, what we are projecting a break-even for the current year could be at risk? And if you can just throw some light into, you know, we are looking at sustainable margins at about 12% plus by FY26. How are we looking at the journey from break even to that 12% level, or from that 7% historic margins to the 12%?
So, Bhumika, first of all, they export to multi geographies. It's just not focused on one geography. So, and also there is a mix of own brand versus the, private label brand. So coupled with the construction boom that is happening every place, and also the visibility that the private label players give, the team is confident of delivering this number. There could be some softness, but I think by and large, they are very much looking at that. I mean, like, for example, this quarter, they delivered better than the last year. So it is in line with that. The second question is about what's your path from 7.5% to, 12%. The path is coming largely from three broad areas, the volume going up, certain new investment in terms of improving the productivity, also introducing few new products what they have started introducing or work in progress in the final stages, and the mix change, particularly some of the raw material that they have been using. So these are the three broad reasons which will lead as them to pick up this. I am looking at not just the drop right now. What you are witnessing is not a right comparison, because it is a lag between price increase that you would put up versus the cost push that you are suffering. So that you need to eliminate. And if you put this back, they are still in a very healthy wicket of 7.5% to 8%. So from there, they will pick up about 400 to 450 basis points through these measures. And that was kind of originally planned, not because of our acquisition. That's their plan that, they have in their own projection. Now, there's an offset. There's on top of that we talked about six synergy areas in the last call that needs to play out, which will be on a larger basis of both India and Europe put together. So for that, we have not considered any benefit that would come from that. We need to work on that. We have now identified one leader who would champion this project. Obviously, he will be given a team to support delivering these, synergy that we are looking at.
Sure. So it would be fair to say while this year there is a challenge because of all these aspects in the first year and as expected to be break-even in the current year, but would it be fair to say that next year onwards we should bounce back to that 7 to 7.5% level, given that, recently commodity prices are kind of easing off?
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
Okay. Great, sir. And the next question is on ceramics. You know, we've clearly seen a very strong performance both on standalone and consolidated basis. Given that there is a lot of you know, moving parts out there, if you can just kind of elaborate what has happened and how sustainable it is, the outlook in terms of the segmental margins out here.
Yeah, the ceramics business, as you know, is largely divided between wear ceramics and what we call the engineered ceramics, and both of them have a significant export component. On the wear ceramics, we do see both through QME Australia and QME America, demand for the lined equipment, as we call it. We also have projects which was delivered in Q1, which was a spillover from Q4. So that also helped. On the technical ceramics, which is the met cylinders and the ceramics for alternative energy, the demand continues to be strong, and that's where we would continue to grow.
So these margins that we've seen in this quarter now would be a more sustainable level as we move ahead on an overall both standalone and consolidated basis?
So let's look at in two compartments. We feel standalone is sustainable, and consolidation that comes from our Australian business and also from America. So there are some orders pile off, which kind of they could ship out this quarter. So there is a higher margin, but it is not going to fall off big time. So I would say, you know, they would be better than the last year's EBIT margin on a consolidated basis.
Sure. Thank you, sir. And I'll come back in the question queue. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Ravi Swaminathan for closing comments.
So thanks a lot, and thanks everyone for being in the call. I would like to thank the management also. Thank you, everyone. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
On behalf of Spark Capital Advisors India Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.